Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, everybody. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. We're joined by Dr. Alex McFarland, who is remote. He's co-host of Exploring the Word, heard on American Family Radio at 3 p.m. each weekday, 3 p.m. Central Time. And Steve Jordahl has joined us. Steve, good morning to you.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, Alex, good to be on with you, my friend.
Well, it's good to be with you, my friend.
All right, guys, before we get to the news of the day for Steve's segment, I do want to let our listeners know we have Share-a-thon coming up in April, and so that means it is time for you to start calling in your listener stories. What do I mean by that? Well, we're gathering stories right now to play during our spring Share-a-thon. We would like to hear from you. And so here's the question. Has the Lord used American Family Radio in your life? Have we been there or given the right thought at just the right time? We want you to share your story. It is an encouragement not only to other listeners who will be tuning in during Share-a-thon, but I'm just going to tell you it is an encouragement to the staff here at American Family Radio, because I personally love to hear listener testimonies, because it is an encouragement to know that on the other side of this microphone, the folks that are listening are being blessed by the Lord through what they hear at American Family Radio. So we'd like you to tell your AFR story. So we want you to call and share for a minute or two. It's very brief, because we can't play five-minute testimonies. A minute or two, and you might hear yourself during Share-a-thon on American Family Radio. How do you do that? Well, here's how you do it. You're going to call our listener story line. The number is 877-876-8893. Grab a pen. Write this number down, 877-876-8893. And when you call, leave your listener testimony. We try to get as many of those in during the 3 days of our spring Share-a-thon as possible. So please check that out. 877-876-8893. All right, Steve.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Well, I'm keeping an eye on the Dow right now. The markets are down. The Dow's down about 630 points, almost 2% off. And this is because of the bank failure you guys were talking about earlier this hour,
yes,
or last hour with Abe. Credit Suisse, the big bank over in Europe, is stressing a little bit, and its stocks are down, and the world is reacting. So that everybody's keeping a close eye on the markets today, because it could be an interesting day.
Well, because these things, they have a tendency to snowball.
Yeah.
To kind
yeah.
of tumble, yeah. and people get nervous. They start pulling their money out. They go, I'm going to put it in the mattress of my bed. I don't even know if anybody's mattress does that anymore. But mm-hmm. that puts additional pressure on banks. So yeah. That's why people are jittery.
Just stay tuned. We'll stay tuned to AFN today. Well, if anything really dire happens, well, we'll be telling you about it anyways. But
right.
A while back, I talked about the a hearing in the House that asked a couple reporters, Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger, to come in and testify. These are two of the reporters that have been publishing what are known as the Twitter files. Alex, you've been following this?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Well, they got an earful from the Democrats, who are finding themselves in the position of being very pro-censorship. I'm reason to bring this up. I'm going to play you a little bit of what happened in that exchange.
Now, just explain to our listeners what you mean by the Twitter files.
So when Elon Musk took over Twitter, he promised some transparency, that things were going to be different. And Twitter was being accused of censoring conservative speech, of putting her finger on the scale when it came to elections, and some pretty mm-hmm. dire and serious accusations. Well, Elon Musk opened up the files, said, come on in, you can have those. He used other people to get to them, so that's kind of behind what's going on. There are sources that were mentioned that are anonymous, but we have found that the FBI and the Justice Department particularly, and a lot of the three-letter agencies, really were directing Facebook and Twitter and the big social medias to censor things they didn't like, whether it was misinformation about COVID, whether it was election stuff. You couldn't talk about the 2020 election being, you know, bad. You know, we got dumped for mentioning hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and all that. So, but they found a very coordinated effort by social media and the government to censor American speech. Mm-hmm. And Republicans are now bringing this out, and they had the hearings with Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger to talk about what they were. But the Democrats did nothing but attack them, called them so-called reporters. Let me tell you, these guys aren't just paperback writers. These guys are serious reporters, a lot of awards. And they and I want to play you one interchange between Sylvia Garcia, who's a Democrat from Texas, and Matt Taibbi. She's asking him to reveal a source, and they kind of get into it. There's a reason I'm bringing this up. I'll talk about it on the other side of this. Listen to Cut 11.
When was the first time that Mr. Musk approached you about writing the Twitter files?
This is a question of sourcing, and I don't give up. I'm a journalist. I don't reveal my sources.
It's a question of chronology.
You're asking a journalist to reveal a source.
So then you consider Mr. Musk to be the direct source of all this?
No, now you're trying to get me to say that he is the source.
You can't have it both ways, but let's move on.
No, he can. He's a journalist.
No, he can't, because either Musk is the source and he can't talk about it, or Musk is not the source. And if Musk is not the source, then he can discuss.
No one has yielded. The gentlelady's out of order. You don't get to speak.
And she's out of order because he's
interrupted. The gentlelady's not recognized.
You're not recognized.
He's not said that.
You're not recognized. You're not recognized. It was ugly.
I spit on your shoes.
The reason I'm bringing this up is because there's an interesting column by Jonathan Turley, who has come to the conclusion that for many of us, I'm quoting from his column, for many of us, this week demonstrates the final severing of many House Democrats from both free speech and free press values. What is left is raw rage and politics. This is what has become of the Democrat Party.
Jonathan Turley is a law professor, but also a commentator. I think he's a law professor at George Washington.
And a Democrat. He was a Democrat. You know.
Right.
And so this is here's a question I have maybe for Alex. Mm-hmm. It seems it's interesting that we can take no matter what issue you bring up, any issue in the world almost, and Democrats and Republicans, liberals and conservatives, will have opposite views. If Donald Trump says the sky is blue, you can guarantee a press release from somebody saying, no, the sky is not blue. There's clouds in the sky. So why? What in the world? I mean, we can't even agree on basic facts, but why is it that every single issue, and in this case, it's free speech, Democrats who used to be very high on free speech now can't stand free speech. Why is it that everybody is exactly polar opposite?
Well, we're in a battle of worldviews, and the Democrat Party, it's one thing to talk about ineptitude, but we're to the point of malice, really. And we have to acknowledge that, look, with the DOJ and the FBI and the CIA working with Twitter during the pre-Elon Musk ownership of Twitter, I mean, they were censoring Charlie Kirk and Dan Bongino and Mike Lindell, and of course President Trump, and censoring conservative voices. And look, I'm nobody. I'm just a little evangelist, and I've had half a dozen tweets blocked that were just simple, like Bible verses and things like that. The Democrat Party and their operatives understand this, folks. They are against America, a constitutional Judeo-Christian republic. Principled capitalism, free speech, attorney-client privilege with lawyers, journalistic privilege with anonymity of sources, all of those things that have made us a free, safe, stable, prosperous, godly republic, they're against. And guys, I want to say this, Lord knows that I'm not trying to be pejorative or ad hominem. I'm not slamming anybody. I'm simply saying you have to understand, please believe it, And if I'm speaking to any people that have been lifelong Democrat voters, please acknowledge the Democrat Party is trying to deconstruct 245 years of America and rebuild a communist utopian state. The price of that will be our freedom and the souls of our children. But we're in a battle of two different options that are before us. The America, the greatest nation in world history that we previously enjoyed, versus this new world order that they are wanting to build. Ed, am I off the mark?
No, absolutely. I think you're spot on. And Alex, I would say that the Democratic Party of yesteryear no longer exists. This is right. a new entity that goes by the name Democratic Party. But look, it seems to me, and Steve, you can jump in here too. It seems to me that we used to have a common belief in this country in individual freedom and individual liberties, and we could have our differences of opinion underneath that umbrella, but we all understood that the Constitution was created so that government would protect our rights and our liberties. We could go about our lives. If you wanted to go to a liberal university, you could. Christian university, conservative, whatever, you could. Now it seems to me that that Constitution has become an enemy of the new goals of the regressives. And because the Constitution has become an enemy, what you're saying, Alex, is exactly right. These freedoms are getting in the way. Free speech is getting in the way of the narrative and the movement to bring us into a Marxist utopia. And a perfect example of that is holding people from the January 6th riots. And we talked about ad nauseum about the fact that on this show, what they did, those that broke into the Capitol and did whatever handfuls ransacked this or put their feet up on the debt, this. All that was wrong. But there are people who have been sitting in a jail without, some of them without legal counsel, without a constitutionally guaranteed speedy trial. All of that happening. Why? Because the Constitution was an inconvenience to the narrative and the movement, and that's why these people were stuck in jail.
And Ed, let me just say this, and then I'll let you reply, Steve. Over and over, listen to the nomenclature that they use. They say, our democracy. Look, we're not a democracy. A democracy is mob rule. You know, Plato, 2,250 years ago, wrote about the merits or demerits of a democracy. We're a representative republic. We're a constitutional Judeo-Christian representative republic. But the reason, and this is like, you know, red meat before salivating animals. They talk to people, especially young people, about democracy. And we have liberty within the limits of moral truth. But January 6th was never a danger to, quote, our democracy, because we are not fundamentally a democracy. We are, or at least we were, a representative republic. And I think that point needs to be made.
Amen. I don't know that many people understand what's going on here, Alex. I think you laid it out perfectly. There's probably, I would say, maybe 2% of the Democrat Party, that the elites, the powerful, that really understand where this is going and are trying to push us to that communist state. I think everybody else that's on the left, they believe the mislanguaging of the English language. They believe that it's for choice. They believe that they're for, you know, the Black Lives Matter and all these different things. But they will not recognize the country that they were born into, and they will be sorely, sorely troubled if we get to the point that the other side wants to bring us to. They are leading us down. And folks, I'm out there telling you, engage. Do some research, do some reading, and find out where we're going here. Because even if you believe in the what used to be the democratic principles, we need strong social programs in this country. We, you know, whatever else that they used to be for. Even if you're strongly there, even if you have a history of voting Democrat, this is not your dad's Democrat Party.
Well, and let me just toss this out, and then Alex jump in here. So let me, folks, let me just do a little commercial. here, okay? What you're hearing on this program, what you heard in the last segment when we had Abraham Hamilton III on, you don't get this kind of Christian insight into what's happening. And we're not skimpy on the philosophical underpinnings or the historical movements or the political science behind what's happening, but we shine the light of Scripture on it. So tell your friends about American Family Radio. Turn Amen. Them on to AFR. Send them to AFR.net or have them download the AFR app, because as Steve's pointing out, people need to be involved and they have to have the right information coming their way. And we believe what we're doing here. We think you do too. That's why you listen to us. So spread the word and get people on board, because if this republic survives, it's going to come right down to the wire. And we need as many people informed and active as possible. All right, Alex, what were you going to add?
Well, I've quoted this on today's issues a time or two, folks. But in October of 2020, in the Wall Street Journal, there was an article by a man named Michael Bleckman. Now, Michael Bleckman was the campaign manager in 1968 for Robert F. Kennedy. And Bleckman, it's funny, in the first couple of paragraphs of his article, he talks about why he can't be a Democrat anymore. And he says, look, lest you think I'm some right-wing conservative evangelical, he said, I'm a lifelong Jewish agnostic. He said, I really don't know what I believe about God. But he said, do you understand the Democrat Party that I worked for under Robert F. Kennedy and in some capacity previously JFK? He said, look, JFK could not be a Democrat today. Robert F. Kennedy could not and would not be a Democrat today. Probably even FDR wouldn't be a Democrat today. And so if you happen to be listening, the Bleckman article was a great thing. He said, look, God, family, marriage, morality, the rule of law, point of order. Ed, like you were talking about the January 6th people that got arrested, due process. You know, even if somebody is a, you know, rank criminal, at least they get due process, which conservatives don't get in many cases. Even some old school Democrats are recognizing this is not the Democrat Party of even 20 years ago, much less in our founding years. Folks, as you said, it's going to come down to the wire, our republic, and it's got to be patriotic, godly, praying, engaged persons that make a difference and influence others, one vote at a time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well said. All right, Steve, go ahead.
San Francisco is the first city to take what they're calling reparations seriously. Reparations is the demand from the African-American, some few in the African-American community, for payback, for back pay, I should say, for all the years that their ancestors were slaves in this country up and until the Civil War. And they say that the reverberations continue. So San Francisco has appointed a commission in the wake of the George Floyd riots. And they have now, this is where their negotiations are on the table. They are now proposing, and this is not settled, but they are proposing that every eligible black person in San Francisco, and there's some requirements that they have been in the city for a certain amount of time, and I don't know how they do the ancestry, whether or not they're, you know, actually affected by the Civil War slavery. But every eligible black person will get $5 million each. They will have all of their personal debt eliminated. They will pay no more taxes. They will have a guaranteed income of at least $97,000 for 250 years, means their kids and their grandkids and their grandkids, and they can buy homes in San Francisco, one of the probably the most expensive housing market. They will be allowed to buy homes for a dollar in San Francisco.
All right, Alex, look, when we talk about the progressive left, and I really do like what Abe calls them, regressives, but that's his term. He needs to be the one to use it. They really don't deal in the real world. There is no way that San Francisco could afford this. And listen, I'm sympathetic. I'm just going to say I'm sympathetic to the argument that is made by people about the effects of slavery on successive generations. But you know what? Humanity has visited horror upon horror from one group upon its neighbors, that there's no way that anyone can settle those accounts except for God Almighty on the day of judgment. Are we going to find out who was subjected to the horrors of the Aztec Empire? We gonna talk about the Vikings taking over England? Where does it stop? How about the Muslims taking over North Africa and all the Middle East? I mean, where do you stop in trying to make right the injustices that have been done, perpetuated from one group to another? And there's no way San Francisco can pull this off. It's just impossible.
Hey, Steve, since you're going to go there and avail yourself to these reparations and such, I want to sell you the Golden Gate Bridge.
Hey, don't
if you're going to be in San Francisco, and that's where it is, I'll
you identify
you
the, as the owner of the Golden
I
Gate Bridge.
I identify. That's my truth, guys. Well, oh, my goodness.
We are building bridges, not fences.
You know, I was talking to a black pastor friend of mine who is a just to the bone Democrat. And here's the thing. It's like there's this disconnect. He loves the Lord. I know he does, but he's a diehard Democrat. And I said to him, I said, look, God knows I'm not a racist. I mean, and that's another conversation. But I said, look, I've never owned a slave. You've never been a slave. And it's ungodly because the way God's reality works, we're all accountable for ourselves. My mother and dad were born again Christians, but that doesn't mean I'll get to heaven on their coattails. I have to come to Christ myself. Look, I can't go and say, hey, look, my ancestors worked for X company, and you know, you shorted their pay 75 years ago. You owe me. I mean, this is ludicrous. But folks, this is not about righting any moral wrongs. Because look, the Democrats don't have any moral compass. They murder babies. This is all about buying votes. This is their circuitous way to buy votes. Ed, am I right?
No, and it's virtue signaling. Because everybody's in on this game. Everybody knows what San Francisco is suggested is impossible to fulfill. So what are your motivations for suggesting it? To your point, it's virtue signaling and trying to buy votes because we want to get reelected. So, well, hey, good luck with that, San Francisco, and good luck, Steve, with your attempt to cash in on it.
Being that Republicans are keeping my people from voting, I don't know why it's going to – how can it buy votes?
This is not going to end well, Steve.
It isn't?
All right. Oh, yeah. You probably
it's
had
gonna
something.
End, though.
You had something. You probably had something funny to share, but we are out of time. Look, folks. I hope you enjoyed the show today. We visited some deep waters. We swam with the sharks today in those deep waters. And guess what? There's more great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. We want you to stay tuned, and don't forget to let your friends and family members, coworkers, if you don't get fired for suggesting it. Let them know about American Family Radio. Alex, thank you so much, brother.
God bless you,
my
friends.
We have you tomorrow on the show as well?
I believe, yes, correct.
All right, good. We look forward to that. Folks, thank you for tuning in to today's issues here on American Family Radio. On behalf of Fred Jackson, Steve Jordahl, this is Ed Vitagliano saying goodbye. Hope to see you tomorrow.